Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the full moon on August 22nd, 2021 at 8:02 a.m. Eastern Time and how we can use what surrounds us to awaken what is within us. In this show, we will discuss a way to use astrology to develop a proper sense of the infinite in order to live under the influence of spiritual awareness. Listen as Swami explains the logic and order of divine intelligence found in the solar system as a tool to rise above the changing conditions of the mental universe. Mary Baker Eddy, in Miscellaneous Writings, states, "All men shall be satisfied when they awake in his likeness, and they never should be until then." Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the influence of spiritual awareness. So Swami, obviously the title of today's show is August Full Moon in Aquarius. So why don't we get started talking about what you'd like us to know about it?
Yeah, the full moon that happened yesterday is what we're going to talk about. But in essence, we really want to start to develop a way of using astrology as a tool so that we can use what's visible and tangible to give us clues as to what is invisible and intangible. Like you said in the opening, we really are trying to awaken in his likeness. Now, typically, astrology has been used as a way of using the movement of the celestial bodies, the aspects and progressions and everything that we use in astrology to give us clues as to what's going on the planet. Now, here, we're recognizing that what's going on the planet is the false sense of existence. The physical world is a mental image. And so the logic, the order, and the predictability of the planets and planetary positions that are so predictable is really a jumping off point, not to give us clues as to what's happening in the unreal, but is trying to give us clues as to what's happening in the real, the changeless state of being. The spiritual universe, which is beyond the mental universe.
Swami, would you start us off by talking about what the planetary alignments might look like in this chart for the full moon?
Yeah, the full moon in Aquarius means that the sun is in Leo and the luminaries are in opposition. What I really found interesting is that Aquarius is the masculine side of Muladhara Chakra, and Leo is the masculine side of Ajna Chakra. So we have the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega of Pingala Nadi, the path of ascending prana, which is represented by the astral mental body, the mapping of the infinite spiritual body, using the infinite spiritual body to gain awareness for the eye of being. Now here, Saturn is the planet assigned to rule Muladhara Chakra, because Saturn rules Capricorn and Aquarius. Saturn is the last of the personal planets, because up to Saturn, the planets are visible with the naked eye, or by natural man. And in astrology, Aquarius has a dual rulership, with Uranus as the co-ruler, and Uranus is the first of the transpersonal planets. So again, we have a jumping off point here. We have a stepping stone. And I always think of 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's what we were trying to say in the opening. Humanity has fallen into the trap of believing the unreal is real. And so even, say, for example, our sciences and our entire Western medical approach to life is founded on trying to figure out how the unreal became real. Now, what we're learning is in order to really get a stronghold on life, you have to start with the real. And what is appearing in our corporeal senses is unreal. And so what is beyond corporeal senses, beyond Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, transpersonal, the spiritual universe is the only thing that's real, the changeless state of being. And so the full moon being the delivery day, which happened yesterday, is a great time for us to start to accept ourselves in spiritual identity. And then from there, we can let go of the belief of a finite mortal identity.
Is there anything you'd like to have us learn about Aquarius at this particular time, at this full moon?
Well, I think the thing that's most important is the understanding of the zodiac, the band of 12 constellations that surround our universe, because it's the closest thing that we can find to the changeless state of being. These fixed stars don't seem to ever move. And so when a planet or a luminary is in a particular zodiacal sign, we get the opportunity to cross-reference the changing conditions of a mental universe in the backdrop of a changeless spiritual sense of being. And then as we come further down from the mental into the mental made visible, which we call the physical universe, and the changing conditions that are happening on this planet, the appearances that we have, we can start to create these correlations. And I think that's how astrology began. They would see where the planets were. Because, say, for example, the seasons, the cycle of night and day, is all dependent upon this planetary movement. And for the most part, what we don't have is awareness for the creative principle that is behind the movement of these planets. And we get so caught up in the changing conditions and the swirling variations of our personal lives and our false sense of identity and what we call this life, this world, that we become unaware of the invisible, intangible principle that is running a perfect universe. And so what we're learning is the importance of being able to keep our mind in constant relation with that invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence.
You had said earlier Saturn rules Capricorn and Aquarius. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about Capricorn and or Aquarius?
Well, yeah, here we're talking about Muladhara Chakra, the root center, Ephesus in Revelations. But metaphorically, the birth of Christ is in Capricorn, which is the feminine side of Muladhara Chakra. And Christ is the saving aspect of truth, which makes the divine creation comprehensive to human consciousness. Again, we don't have to wait to December 25th in order for us to awaken this birth of this spiritual light within our consciousness. We can use anything. But ideally, what we want to do is live above corporeal sense and keep our mind in constant relation with the divine creation, because how we think is what we become.
I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit more about what you had just said. Christ is the saving aspect of truth. Can you just kind of break that down for us? We might have some listeners that may not know what we mean by that.
Yeah, for me, I think it was a big help learning there was a difference between Jesus and the Christ. Jesus is the manifestation of the Christ, But the Christ is an eternal principle, and it is the Messiah, what makes the divine creation intelligible to human consciousness. Because the mind that most of us are using to get us through this lifetime can't bring forth the divine image. And the instruction in the Bible was repent. Some people interpret that to mean turn back. Turn back to who you were before you appeared in form. Or repent, think differently. So we want to come out of the changing conditions of a personal mentality which is only working with duality. It's only getting its information through our material senses. We learn by stopping thinking and making our mind an avenue of awareness for the divine creation, the invisible, intangible omnipresence. In silence and in stillness, we let that divine creative principle express itself through us, as us.
And you had said earlier, you used the phrase, the infinite spiritual body. And then you said to gain awareness for the eye of being. That seems that's kind of loaded with a lot of information. Let's talk about that a little bit more.
Well, again, it is a lot of information. We did two other shows on mapping the infinite spiritual body. You really have to understand the logo that we use for our business becomes a template for this larger sense of life, the body of Christ. Because you can't have the mind of Christ and put that in a finite mortal body. So in order for us to have the mind of Christ, we now have to shift our identity spiritually to spiritual identity, which means now you have the body of Christ, which gets you out of that limited human personal sense of self into a much more defined, universal, expanded sense of self. Like we said, now we're using the zodiac, we're using the solar system as our point of identification, as opposed to this physical form that's sitting in a chair here.
So Swami, how do we use this mapping? What does it look like?
Well, the infinite spiritual body mapped out by the zodiac and the solar system is like having a huge computer screen, provided we understand it's a mental image. The material universe is the mental universe made visible, but it's not the spiritual universe. It is a thought about the spiritual universe, a reflection, keeping in mind the kingdom of heaven is within and at hand. Now, the Bible uses the metaphor of wheat and tares, which I find to be very helpful because the wheat really is the divine creation. And the tares is the human recreation or the sense perception of what is here. We want to be able to separate the wheat from the tares so that we can start to fill our thought with the divine idea. Because again, how we think is what we become, and consciousness is experience. So the more we're preoccupied with the changing conditions of our personal mentality and reacting to the swirling variations of the external material world, the less attention we have for the invisible, intangible perfection of being we're talking about. We stop thinking and we start knowing this truth. And in our silence and in our stillness, we're now allowing the divine creative principle to express itself through us, which will then externalize as a better experience.
Well, we are going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, talking about separating the wheat from the tares, is that like what detachment might mean?
Yeah, I think so. In Kriya Yoga, the term used is detachment. But in order to free thought from the influence of mortal mind, we must attach thought to divine mind, the invisible and the intangible. Now, as a stepping stone, rather than reacting to the swirling variations of the changing conditions of the personal mentality, we hold attention on the logic, order, and predictability of the zodiac and the solar system as a proper sense of the infinite. Here we're using what is visible and tangible to understand what is invisible and intangible to the corporeal senses, until the spiritual senses awaken, at which time we let divine mind take over the scientific government of what seems to be the personal sense of being.
Well, what do you mean by the swirling variations of the changing conditions of the personal mentality? What does that look like? What should we be aware of?
What reports in our corporeal senses is not the divine creation. The divine creation is the changeless state of being. It's invisible and it's intangible to corporeal sense. Once you have an understanding, that is the false sense of existence. The only thing that is real is spirit. Spirit is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled. Until we accept that as our identity, we are this false sense of existence looking for something to complete ourselves. Can a mind free itself from its own creation? What we're calling this world is a mental creation. It's not the divine creation. And if we mistake the impermanent, the changing conditions for the permanent, that's the trap, that's the cycle of death and rebirth under the jurisdiction of the law of karma that we're looking for liberation from. Anything that has the qualities of changing must be recognized for what it is, that it is not real. It's not under the jurisdiction of divine law. It's not part of the divine creation. And so we need to, again, separate the wheat from the tares.
So separating the wheat from the tares, we're talking about separating our sense of our personal sense from our divine oneness?
For me, the process of separating wheat from tares has been experienced as personal sense rises into a faith in the divine creative principle, which is running a perfect universe, then begin to rest in the knowledge there is only one perfect life and not many appearances. And by letting go of the false sense, the belief in the many, and now accepting the one, and live in the knowledge of the infinite spiritual body, which takes care of what appears to be a personal physical body. I ask myself the question, Am I a separate entity or am I the one divine principle?
Well, I see we have some writings by Herb Fitch where he also talks about the wheat and the tares. Maybe we could recite that now?
Yeah, I got this from Living in the Fourth Dimension, and I'll read it. He says, always the wheat stands for divine thought, and the tare, or the weed, stands for human thought or sense perception. Also, in the same work, a different class, he writes, the universe that you experience in your consciousness, and you must take possession of that universe by getting rid of the tares and not going out to just pluck them indiscriminately and uprooting the wheat at the same time, but daily separating tares from the wheat, separating sense perception from acceptance of the living presence of God here, letting everything come through your conscious awareness of the presence, and then divine thought, the wheat, begins to feed your consciousness, and the tares, the weeds, the human sense perceptions begin to dissolve, and your consciousness, being only the wheat, only divine thought, externalizes as divine activity and shows the law of transformation of consciousness. Divine thought transforms, and the consciousness outpictures heaven on earth. That's the end of the quote. Now, for me to convert what I just read into a real experience based on what we're talking about here, using the astrology, using the zodiac as a platform, as a starting point, there is a perfection of being. There is a divine creative principle right here, right now, and it is running a perfect universe. Here's my evidence procedure. The next closest layer of that to me would be the movement of the planets. We know where all of the planets are going to be. We know where they've been. And so again, this logic, order, predictability gives you a sense of confidence for the divine creative principle running a perfect universe. Now we have to let go of trying, striving, struggling, planning on a personal level. Lift our identity into that infinite spiritual sense of self, which is impersonal. And even following the instruction in the Lord's Prayer, not my will, but thy will be done. But having a clearer understanding of what the divine will is doing. Before, I used to think anything that was happening on earth was the will of God. Good, bad, and otherwise, and then just believing in the law of karma keeps you stuck in this belief level of living, sense level living, and we want to rise out of that. We have to let go of the belief. We have to understand the unreal is unreal. We're not trying to fix the unreal. We're trying to let go of the belief the unreal is real. And from that platform, we don't just accept anything. This process of separating the wheat from the tares is all the good, beautiful, and true attributes belong to the divine creative principle. Everything else is under the jurisdiction of the human recreation, the thought loop that we're stuck in. And so we don't react to it. We stop thinking about it. And in our silence and in our stillness, we let the divine creation take over the scientific government of our being.
Swami, we use the Bible a lot as a reference tool. So how would the Bible fit into what we're talking about here today?
Well, Goswami Kriyananda used to say the Bible is an astrology book. And then, of course, he would go on and he would explain all the symbolism in the Bible, which was astrological. And also, Mary Baker Eddy wrote, and I'll read it, acquaintance with the original texts and willingness to give up human beliefs, established by hierarchies and instigated sometimes by the worst passions of men, opened the way for Christian Science to understand and make the Bible the chart of life, where the buoys and healing currents of truth are pointed out. And that was from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 24:4. The Bible here is instruction in how to find the divine creation. Genesis 1, how to find that spiritual universe that God created where everything is very good. So here we're really graduating from the old theology of trying to follow the rules and the regulations of the divine and getting our reward based on the performance of our conduct in this lifetime. Now we're starting to graduate into understanding the divine creation is right here. It's right now. And we want to let go of the belief that we're not in the kingdom of heaven on earth and that we're stuck in this thought loop, this false sense of existence that is giving the appearance of good and bad, right and wrong, life and death. And again, using these astrological symbols not to reinforce the false sense of existence, but to actually reinforce the presence of the divine creative principle that is running a perfect universe right here and right now, and here's your evidence procedure.
So Swami, in the summary, we said that we're going to discuss ways to use astrology to develop a proper sense of the infinite in order to live under the influence of spiritual awareness. Well, let's talk about what we mean by proper sense of the infinite.
In Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, on page 265, line 5, Mary Baker Eddy says, "Mortals must gravitate Godward. Their affections and aims grow spiritual. They must near the broader interpretation of being and gain some proper sense of the infinite in order that sin and mortality may be put off." That's the end of the quote. In the same book, she also says, "You render the divine law of healing obscure and void when you weigh the human in the scale with the divine, or limit in any direction of thought the omnipresence and omnipotence of God." End of the quote. Everything that we're doing and striving for to accomplish is to come out of the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. Even, say, for example, to have a personal sense of God limits it, what she says here. Limit in any direction of thought the omnipresence or omnipotence of the divine creative principle. Will render the divine law of healing obscure and void. And so this whole concept of stop thinking, stop forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through our corporeal senses, and resting, watching, waiting, listening for the divine creative principle to reveal itself to us, that we waken in His likeness, that we waken in spiritual identity. As spirit, we are fulfilled. We're not a finite mortal being seeking, searching. We are whole, we're complete, we're fulfilled. And we rest and we know the truth because in spiritual identity, we're under divine law. We rise above even all the rules of astrology, all the rules of the material universe, the law of karma. What we're putting out is what we get back. And we rest in the truth and we let it make us free.
It is that time to start breaking down our show for the day. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, when you see the fading banner of Blog Talk Radio, if you click that, that directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And that by clicking on the Products tab and Online Classes, directs you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. So with that, Swami, any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the influence of spiritual awareness. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.